Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. What happens every time the Lord or an angel of the Lord appears to one of his people? Those who see and hear him fall down on their knees, they hide their eyes, and they cry out that they are doomed. In short, what happens every time the Lord appears to his people? They are deathly afraid. Unholy people cannot stand in the consuming presence of holy God and live. It's as simple and true as that. I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. So says the first man, Adam, after his sin. When the Lord called Moses from the burning bush, Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. After the wind and the earthquake and the fire, Elijah heard the sound of a low whisper. And when he heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak in fear. As Isaiah is given a vision of the glory of the Lord, he says, "Woe is me, for I am lost. I am a man of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Now Peter, here in this boat, after the miraculous catch of fish at Jesus' word, cries out to him, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." These are only a handful of the theophanies and epiphanies that the Lord has given to us in his word. And every time he appears or reveals his majesty and power, there is great fear among those who hear and see him because of his holiness, and more so because of their sin. But the Lord doesn't come to his people in order to destroy, as many people believe today. He speaks in this still, small, gentle, loving voice. "I will send a Savior to take away your sin, Adam. I have called you. I will go with you, Moses. You're not the only one left, Elijah. I have reserved for myself 7,000 who have not bowed the knee to Baal. You are not alone. Isaiah, this burning coal has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away. Your sin is atoned for. You will speak for me. Do not be afraid." Do not be afraid, Peter. This catch of fish is nothing that special. Your sinfulness will not hinder me from using you to do far greater things. You will go and catch men alive. And by his word of forgiveness, those to whom Almighty God makes himself known, who are filled with fear, are then calmed and comforted with quietness of mind and of heart, and God's all-encompassing peace that passes the understanding of this world. But the fear and the violence and the fire, the storm and the earthquake and the judgment, these things all had to come first, didn't they? Before the Lord himself follows in his still, small voice. It is the thundering and certain condemnation and death that the mighty deeds of God and his law bring that keep some people from passing through the doors and coming into this place. Those who are afraid of coming to this place have some understanding that there is something or someone holy who is here, and they know good and well that they are not holy. They know that platitudes and shallow teaching and praise is not going to be enough to appease this holy God. But what they don't know, or what they don't seem to believe, is that God doesn't only speak his law that condemns our sin. The net of the Lord's gospel is not intended to trap and kill like the fowler's snare or like the false teaching and false promises of this world. His net, his gospel, his good news is intended to catch men alive, to capture so as to rescue, and then to set free from sin and death forever. Maybe this story about a net and the great catch of fish and men who are to go out and catch men alive is simply just too metaphorical for some. Let's try it more simply and straightforward. You are a sinner. God is not. You are unholy. God is holy. In your sin, you belong to the devil and deserve the same fate that he has earned, and there is nothing that you can do to save yourself. But holy God comes into his own creation, and he finds you. He scoops you up out of the depth of your sin. He tells you not to be afraid. He washes you clean in his waters of holy baptism. He makes you holy. He brings you into his boat, his church, and he feeds and nourishes you. He makes you his own. Of course, we are afraid to admit our sinfulness because of God's holiness. But God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world. He doesn't show you your sin in order to mock you, but that you would repent of it and receive his forgiveness. That's exactly what Jesus has come to do. That's what he called Peter and the other disciples to do, just as he called Isaiah to do before them. Not in the shaking of the heavens, not in the tossing of the seas, not in the terrors of the law, not even in a miraculous catch of fish, but in a crib in Bethlehem. He comes to his creation in the most unthreatening way. He comes as an infant, so that we can receive him with joy rather than with fear. He comes, as one of our hymns says, not in terrors as the King of Kings, but kind and good with healing in his wings. The Creator of heaven and earth, the Holy One of God, humbles himself and is born of a virgin. And then in the prime of his life, he offers himself as a sacrifice to pay for the price for all sin and to save all sinners of the world. Scripture says the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Again, Scripture says, Jews demand signs, Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. The wise of this world consider all of these things to be utter foolishness. But their blind eyes and unhearing ears do not change the truthfulness of God's holy word or his promise of eternal salvation. How sad it will be for those who do not believe when Jesus comes again to judge the living and the dead. Because of Christ crucified, because of his pierced hands and feet and side, because he continues to work through men that he has called to preach the gospel and to go out and catch men alive, I stand here in front of you today by this font, in this nave, this boat, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, tell you not to be afraid. Yes, holy God is in this place, but he has not come to destroy you. In his stead and by his command, I announce to you that he loves you, that he has forgiven all your sins, that you belong to him, and that you are safe with him. The Lord, the God of heaven and earth, the great I am, is present here in this little boat, in this little church, in his living word. He is still speaking in his small voice. But he is not here to scare you or to sentence you to death, the very death that you know that you deserve. He's not here to extinguish a dimly burning wick or to break off the bruised reed. No, he's here in his mercy to speak gently and kindly to troubled consciences, to tell you not to be afraid, to take heart, to look to him, to find him again at his font where your sins have been washed away, to seek him again in his body and blood at his altar where your faith is nourished, to hear his voice from this pulpit where the foolishness of Christ crucified for your salvation is preached into your ears so that you can live. There is no life outside of Christ, outside of his boat, outside of his all-encompassing net. Unless he pulls you to safety, you will most certainly die in your sins. But there is no one who needs Jesus only and not his church. Just as there are no hands or eyes or feet out there living apart from some body, neither can you belong to Christ if you are separated from his body, the church. I know this message is different than what you hear in many other places. In fact, I doubt you're hearing this message anywhere else. Most in this world, even many Christians, think that it's all about themselves, thinks about it all about a personal relationship with Jesus. For we are a very individualistic world. It seems as though it's every man for himself and it's all up to you if you would be saved. But it's not true. Think of the net and the great catch of fish and the sinking boats. There are so many voices clamoring for your attention in this world, and with these voices come confusion and worldly thinking, and it makes it even harder to hear the Lord's softly spoken word. But you are not alone. He has gathered you together in this place to hear his word and to be saved. The devil will always lead people astray in this life. Many will remain fearful to come to God's house because they're afraid of his holiness and his judgment. They're afraid of the destruction that he can bring that they often see in the creation itself. But you know, and we want them to know, that the Lord has not abandoned his people. He is present in his mercy and his love. His still small voice is whispering to you in his word, "Do not fear. I have come to catch and save you. I am always with you through the water and in my body and blood. I have sent you one that I have called to speak my word to you, to remind you of my mercy and love. I myself have gone to prepare a place for you, so that when I come again, I will take you safely home." Leave your life of sin and death and everything else that hinders, that weighs you down. Be caught in the Lord's net, in this net of good news, in God's love for you in Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guards and keeps your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus, to life everlasting. Amen.
Hi, this is Pastor Ryan Wendt. You've just listened to a sermon preached at Christ the King Lutheran Church in Billings, Montana. I hope that you heard God's law that reveals your sin and his precious gospel, the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ, that your sins are forgiven for his sake. These sermons are posted not as a replacement for gathering together with other believers around Christ's word and sacraments, but for our members who are away at school, at work in foreign countries, or who for some other reason are not able to be with us regularly. If you've been listening and do not have a church home, please consider contacting us through our website, and I will be happy to help you find a faithful congregation and pastor near where you live. Or if you're listening to us locally, why don't we get together for a few minutes and talk more about what we believe? If you'd like to support the work the Lord is doing through his word in this congregation and in our community, please get in touch with me through our website. The Lord's richest blessings to you this week and always, in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.